The Man in the Iron Mask. It seems that the great love of two people, Marjorie Frederick and Edmund Marchiali, has at last brought them together again. But the circumstances are ghastly. Marguerite, of course, is imprisoned in the Bastille, hoping against hope that one day her lover will come and free her. Edmund does come, but he is brought by soldiers, a hideous iron mask clamped over his head, and he is thrust into the cell next to Marguerite. Marguerite has seen him go by. She does not recognize him, but she hears him moaning. And now, through her cell, she calls to him and asks him to have faith.
I'm going mad. This is a nightmare. Now I hear voices.
Keep hold of your reason, sir. I can't see you, but I know what you must be suffering. I saw you go by. Have faith in the future, and I'm sure you will survive.
It is her. I'd know that voice anywhere. But it's coming from nowhere. I'm losing my reason.
I'm in the next cell to you. I can't see you, you can't see me. But as the doors of these cells are so close to each other, we can at least talk sometimes in the darkness. And a friendly voice is so great a help.
You're addressing me?
Yes. I'm in the next cell. A prisoner. We are two of a kind.
She answered me. Then I'm not dreaming. This is not an hallucination.
Poor man. What you must have gone through. That ghastly iron hood.
It is you. It's Marguerite.
Marguerite? You know my name?
No, your name. It's the name I've whispered over to myself day after day for weeks, for months. Marguerite, is it really you? Answer me quick.
Yes. Yes, of course it's Marguerite. But you, I don't recognize the voice. Who is it?
Perhaps you don't recognize the voice because it's stifled in this mask. Oh, darling, don't you know me?
No. No, it couldn't be. It's not... Oh, Edmund!
Oh, sweetheart, where are you? This great weight on my head, I hardly know where I am, what I'm doing. But now I'm at the door of the cell. My hands are going out, trying to find where you are.
Oh, you can't reach me. But the doors are closed. At least we can talk. Oh, Edmund, my heart, what have they done to you? Why are you here? And that terrible instrument of torture, what does it all mean?
It's a strange story, Marguerite. The king has put me here.
The king?
Yes, because I'm so like him. Oh. Nobody dare be like the king of France.
Oh, Edmund.
Don't cry, my dear. At least I've found you. At least after these months of anxiety and torture, we're close to one another. But you? Why are you here? What does it all mean?
I can tell you nothing of that, Edmund. They came for me, men on horseback and a carriage. They took me away by force. They brought me here to the Bastille. There was no explanation, nothing. Then I was told by a kindly warder that I must prepare to meet my death.
Your death?
Yes. If it had not been for the fact that a woman died here in this cell, perhaps I would have been cold in my grave.
Don't talk of such things.
It's true. But this kindly warder, he allowed me to change cells with this woman. And he went up and reported that it was I who had died. They buried this other woman, believing that she was me.
Marguerite, this is terrible. We must have some enemy, some fiendish enemy who wanted to kill you, who perhaps has put me here. And yet it is the king who's done this to me, because I'm so like him. Oh, Marguerite, I would give my life at this moment just to be there with you, to hold you in my arms, to look at you once again.
Oh, I love you, Edmund.
And I love you. Even now, with this great weight on my head, the feeling that my neck will soon break, the feeling that my head has burst, I still feel that I can keep alive thinking of you, loving you every moment that I'm spared.
Oh, Edmund, if only I could help you. You're being tortured in there, I know you are. Darling, I could help you, darling.
I feel a different being already. Just hearing your voice, knowing that your love is near. We'll escape somehow. A crazy, fantastic wish, perhaps. But Providence has been good and kind. It has guided us each to the other. Maybe Providence will find some way out for us both.
Your Majesty, you must come to Paris at once.
What?
Yes, Your Majesty. The Infanta is arriving a day earlier than expected.
But how is this?
There seems to have been confusion about the day of her departure. Apparently, she left a day earlier. But the point is, Your Majesty, that you must be in Paris for the presentation tomorrow.
Oh, that's impossible. I've arranged the hunt tomorrow. The presentation, everything must wait.
I might also inform Your Majesty that I've come to Versailles for another purpose today.
Yes?
I have come to make arrangements to send my niece, Maria, into the country.
Was that your niece? I didn't know she was here in Versailles.
Then if you didn't, Your Majesty, you must have a bad memory, because you dined with her last night.
Listen to me, my Lord Count. Let us be frank with each other. I happen to be very much enamored of your niece.
That is unfortunate, Your Majesty.
But why?
A marriage of state has already been arranged. And my niece? Well, I'm sufficiently fond of Maria to safeguard her good name.
Are you suggesting...
Your Majesty, you and I have never quarreled. We've always seen eye to eye. I have bowed to your wishes. And you have been happy to have me near you because I've watched your finances. But when it comes to my niece, I would like you to know, Your Majesty, that I'm dispatching her to a convent in the country tomorrow.
Now, listen to me. Supposing I was prepared to forego my marriage.
Forego the marriage? When so much has been done to bring it about? The alliance between France and Spain? Your Majesty, we have thrashed this out for months and months. We both know how important Spain is as an ally. It means the safety of France. It protects us if there were aggression of any kind. Your Majesty, it is out of the question. And tomorrow the Infanta will be presented to you, Maria Theresa, your future wife.
Maria. And Maria. Two fateful names in my life. How right you are. That's what always annoys me, my Lord Cardinal. How confoundedly right you always are.
Mercedes, another handkerchief, please.
Yes, Your Highness.
Oh, the dust, the dirt. It has been an awful journey.
But we will soon be in Paris, Your Highness. That will make you happy.
Happy?
It will be the beginning of a new life for you, Your Highness. I have heard so many wonderful tales of the French court. The ambassadors come from every corner of the globe. The entertainments are lavish. The women dress beautifully. And you, Your Highness, you will lead all the fashion.
I wish you could change places with me, Mercedes.
Change places with you, Your Highness?
Yes. It means nothing to me, this glitter of the court. Mine has been a quiet life spent in convent walls. If I'd had my own way, I would still be there.
But, Your Highness, think of the honor and the glory. She'll be Queen of France.
What will the King say, Mercedes? When I tell him that I'm not prepared to sit at his banquet table until 3 o'clock in the morning? I cannot bear to see men and women drunk, you know that. Nothing like that has ever been allowed in the Spanish court. Besides, there are women, I believe.
Women? You mean...
The king is very fickle. And from what the son of the English ambassador told me, it will make no difference, even if he does take a wife. Oh, Miss Lady, if only this carriage would turn around and take me back to my father, to my home.
Why, look, Letelier. Through those windows. The carriages are rumbling up. Oh, yes, yes, the future Queen of France arrives. I must hold my breath, Letelier, and hope for the best.
The first carriage has stopped, Your Majesty. She'll be in there, of course.
Why, look, Your Majesty. Tall and slim and dark. Oh, why, she's beautiful, Letelier. She's...
Just a moment, Your Majesty. That's the maid in waiting. She's handing the Princess Maria out of the carriage now.
Oh, mon dieu, not that.
I'm afraid so, Your Majesty.
Short. Short. I loathe short women. Dark like a grease spot. And the way she walks. Oh, Letelier, I can't stand it. Maria, 100 miles away. And I have to contend with this.
You are the king, Your Majesty. I know you have your obligations, but you should do as you like.
As I like. I wonder.
Yes, Your Majesty.
To be here and to be 100 miles away, it could be done.
Oh, you're thinking of Maria Mancini.
Oh, no, Your Majesty, you are not a magician.
Oh, aren't I, Letelier?
Oh, no, perhaps not quite that, but you seem to forget that I have a double. Perhaps with careful handling, my double might prove a useful ally after all.
So the king, in such a predicament, may now turn to Edmund Marchiali, who lies in torture in the Bastille, with the terrible mask of iron locked on his head. Make sure you hear the next interesting chapter of The Man in the Iron Mask.